Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Medium Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my shorty cutie with me. It is the resident Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
Hello. Tonight we're coming and going and coming and going. What in the loop are we talking about? Why, reincarnation, of course. But before we do, I'd like to give a mega shout out to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. Make sure you hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Medium Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Medium Matters, on email at themediummatters@gmail.com, and via time travel, because let's try something new. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, you don't have to call the Ghost Brothers or the Ghostbusters. You can jot it down and email it to me at themediummatters@gmail.com. Send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or call me maybe and leave it on the show's voicemail to be part of the action. That's right, we're all grown up and we have our own phone line. You can call us at 850-203-0118 with your ghost story. For your written stories, I will personally read and reply to your message and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your true life ghost story or stories right here on The Medium Matters. No pressure to be on the show. I am happy to read it on your behalf if that's more your jam. No judgment, no pressure, just good, clean, scary fun. For your voicemail ghost stories, you should stretch first, then dial us up at 850-203-0118. Make sure you leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let the ghost stories roll. These messages will be played on the air, so make sure you tell me if you would like to keep it private. You can also leave us a message with a review for the show or topic-related questions, stories, and more. Do you want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind the scenes vlogs, and more at your little fingertips? Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive, super, super amazing everything family on Patreon and get immediate access to all the fun for as little as $1 per month. What does that $1 per month mean for the show? Well, I'm glad you asked. It means that we can pay for monthly subscriptions that keep the show running, buy better equipment so you don't have to hear static and all kinds of background noise, do cool things for you guys like live shows, meet and greets, and so much more. Make sure you go to patreon.com/themediummatters and join the Medium Matters family today. Let your voice be heard. Post your ratings and reviews for your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts. The couple of minutes it takes to leave a few words or even 5 stars really does make a huge difference. It does help podcasts move up the charts and become more visible to newcomers. If you haven't already done so, please make sure you leave a rating and a review for your favorites and make sure they get seen. Now that we have all that housekeeping out of the way, it's time to get down with the get down. Let us entertain our ears with this week's tarot talk, which is brought to us by the Marie Rose. Take it away.
So for tonight, I have drawn the 18th key from the Major Arcana, which is the moon. And it's basically a dog and a wolf howling at the moon. And I think it's the only card that actually has a crawfish in it. I don't know if that's a crawfish or a lobster, or
could be a lobster based on the size of it.
So I look at it, I think crawfish, but
well, I mean, just looking at the scale of the crawfish slash lobster next to the dogs, he looks pretty sizable.
Yeah, it could be a lobster.
I mean, it could be
it's a crustacean.
Yeah, it's a crustacean. This is a nice card.
It is. I like the moon card. Mm-hmm. They're howling at the moon, and the moon is actually depicted in all of its phases: quarter moon, half moon, full moon, and it's got the two pillars, the duality, life, death, you know, any other duality concepts you want to apply there. In the river flowing, you know, talking about, you know, representing the continuation of life and whatnot. But as we have been doing, the card was drawn in reverse.
This is
it's been a while, seems like, since, well, this is like our third one in a row.
I'll say this. The episodes may not air in the order at which we record them, but this is the third episode we're recording in a row, and it's the third reverse card.
Right.
Cray.
It is. It is, yeah. So there's a blockage somewhere. Yeah. somewhere. But what this card represents is that whatever issues that we're going through will be weathered. We will come to peace, but it will cost us something. No risks should be taken at this time. And so that's about the gist of it. Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be issues, but yes, they will be resolved given time.
That's like every day.
So maybe it is appropriate.
I feel like we don't need a card for that. You guys, if you have an issue, give it time.
Give it time. Get resolved. It will work itself. It will work itself out. So
fun. Thank you for that. And that moon card really is pretty. If you guys haven't seen it, I'll make sure I include a link so you too can see the deck that we're working off of, which is the Rider Waite, I believe.
Yes, yeah. It is. And see, and I love how it's a dog and a wolf because it kind of shows the evolution. You know what I mean?
I would not have put that together.
And
I'd be like, oh, it's two dogs.
And the evolution with the lobster, you know, coming out of the water and
to turn into what?
Well, a water animal being able to crawl on land.
Mm. Interesting. So. That moon is so pretty.
Oh, I know. I love it.
Yeah, it's a cool card.
And this is the card that kind of gave me the courage to start reading for other people. Mm-hmm. Because when Lily drew the moon card, I told you that story.
I think you did.
I never let anybody touch my cards before. I hadn't done readings for anybody but myself. And one night, I had my deck with me and I was with her and I was just fooling around and just kind of fanned them open and looked at her and said, just draw one. And Lily, who is like obsessed with the moon, mm-hmm. drew the moon card. And I think we both laughed so hard. We about peed our pants.
Yeah, that is the universe at work right there.
Right. So I was like, I cannot believe that just happened. Mm-hmm. And because she didn't drop from the top. She didn't drop from the bottom. I literally fanned them out. And that's the card she picked. I said, okay, well, maybe it's time I started to read for other people.
Thank God she picked that card.
So, and it has been a crazy journey ever since then, which I'll go into next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tarot readings have been fantastic.
Nice. And sadly, they're over. Hopefully everyone that wanted a chance submitted their email. But yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah.
This week's Can't Resist Crystal is the one and only Lapis Lazuli.
Oh, look what I'm wearing.
Oh, I like this one a lot. I have a Lapis Lazuli. I think I have two crystals.
So I'm yelling at Chris, at Chantel to say, looky. But for the listeners out there, I'm actually wearing a necklace.
And I didn't even bother to say that. I was like, oh.
And it's one of my favorites because it's, well, go into it. It's about the throat. So that's why I love the necklace, the piece of it.
From energymuse.com, surprise, surprise, Lapis Lazuli is a gemstone that has existed and been valued since the beginning of time. The ancient Egyptians used it in the scarabs, beads, pendants, and other Lapis Lazuli jewelry as far back as 3100 BC. The golden sarcophagus of King Tutankhamun was heavily decorated with lapis lazuli, and lapis lazuli jewelry was used as burial ornaments for other Egyptian kings and queens. Buddhist beliefs also utilize lapis lazuli stone, jewelry, and gemstones as tools to help bring inner peace and freedom from negative thoughts. For more information on this incredible gemstone, make sure you check out energymuse.com or any other resource that resonates with you. And learn a whole lot more about this really cool stone or any other stones that you're interested in. If you guys have any questions about this stone or any others, make sure you let us know at themediummatters@gmail.com or on one of the social media pages, wherever. And we'll make sure we answer your questions to the very best of our abilities.
Yeah. And last year when my daughter and I went to Rome, and we went to the Vatican. And one of the mosaics, the blue chips in there was that stone. And that flipped me out. I was like, that is actually in the Vatican, in the mm-hmm. in the little in the mosaic patterns, and it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, of it course, is a really nice one.
Yeah, of course they got it roped off, so you can't walk over it. Mm-hmm. But it was like wow, mm-hmm. so cool.
I like it. I like it.
It's time to leave this world and come back again because we're deep diving into reincarnation and getting drenched. If you don't know, now you know. Reincarnation is the belief that after you die, your soul or essence is reborn into another body. The process is also known as the transmigration of the soul, and many people believe souls reincarnate through multiple lifetimes, such as your body dies but your soul lives on, your soul returns to source energy, your soul returns in a different body, and the cycle repeats endlessly or until your spirit reaches enlightenment, which is understanding, insight, having learned, and so on. Do you agree, Marie?
Yes.
That is reincarnation?
Yeah, I think there's too many stories out there of people remembering their previous lives for it to not be real.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So what is the purpose of reincarnation? It's the continuing evolution of the soul towards enlightenment or the return to what would be like a source energy, which could be referred to as God, the spirit, the divine, whatever it is that you call that. And during its evolution through lifetimes, the soul seeks to experience and grow from those experiences until it has learned all it set out to learn. So if you've ever heard of like your blueprint, your life plan, your whatever it is, it's believed that these are things that we have set in place before we come into the next life, and that we have to accomplish certain things. We need to go through certain things to learn lessons and whatnot. And that is part of the purpose of reincarnation. Some souls choose to recall certain aspects, talents, skills that were learned in past lives that will aid in the current incarnation. And many believe that child prodigies are such souls who have conscious and subconscious recall of those skills. It would be like, you know, the gender, the personality, those traits, all of those things will change, but the soul will always be the same soul. So it's kind of like when we say, or, you know, it's not just exclusive to us or to me or whatever the case, but when someone, say someone was like a jerk in the physical world, when they cross over, it is highly likely they are still going to be a jerk, because you don't magically just grow wings and become an angel on the other side. Like, your soul is what your soul is.
Yeah, but I also believe that, you know, yeah, they're a jerk and they go to the other side. And I think when they go to the other side, they examine their life here and they do realize, okay, all right, there's still some lessons to learn. And when they come back, they have to learn those lessons in order to evolve.
But that's free will. So they can still make the choice. I mean, and you did say that they choose right. to come back and... But it is a free will situation where they don't just automatically come back and say, oh, I have this list of chores, like I have to do them. It's still a choice.
It's still right. Mm-hmm. It's still a choice. It's like, okay, I've got to go back and relearn that.
Or they could just linger, like many do, and just wreak havoc or do whatever it is they do in the in between and not reincarnate or not cross over fully or not, you know, whatever the rest of that lengthy list is.
Right. In that case, they're just lost.
Yeah. Or have chosen to just sit in the in-between. Because some do. We learn that.
Yeah.
Some of them do. Yeah. And it's not necessarily because something's gone wrong. It's because they just have chosen.
They don't.
Not to keep going.
Right. They're supposed to, I think. But for whatever reason, they're stuck.
So humans are essentially spiritual beings that possess eternal life and have the ability or do or can reincarnate many times between the worlds. And I mean, we're never thrown into this world accidentally. There is a purpose for it. We're born with a mission. We create this plan in advance. Like I think we were just talking about that. So you don't come here just blind, walking around aimlessly, not knowing what to do. There is something which is believe to be part of the purpose of reincarnation is to accomplish all of those things, and, you know, theorize that once you do, you can stop reincarnating.
Right. Once you learn everything that you've set out to learn.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We don't know. We're just... Because I have no memory of ever having reincarnated.
I don't either. I've been told that this is my ninth trip, my ninth life, so to speak, and that it will be my final one. All the previous lives was an untimely deaths, and I didn't get to finish what I set out to do. And this life is the life where I finally got everything right, and it will be my final trip. And when I was first told that, I was like, okay, whatever you say, dude. But ever since we started Reiki and we started down the spiritual path, and the more I learned, I think the guy was right. Mm-hmm. It makes...
Did you just become more comfortable with the idea of the information you got?
Maybe, but it made sense. I feel like I am getting things right, and I am very, very much at peace. So maybe he's right.
Maybe so. Does it make you sad at all to know that you likely won't reincarnate again? Like, no. That'll be it for you?
No, because everything that I've learned and heard about what it's like on the other side sounds friggin' fabulous. You know, I hear of people who, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts and previous recordings, that people cross over to the other side and they come back, and then mm-hmm. they go into a depression because mm-hmm. they saw how beautiful it was on right. the other side,
and
they didn't want to come back, and right. how joyous it was over there, but they were forced to come back because it wasn't their time, and then they go into a depression because they had to come back mm-hmm. to this world. So yeah. I even read in one book that there's no hell, as many people believe it, that this is it. That this is the hell, and this is the place where people hurt each other and where, you know, all these bad things happen. But you gotta navigate through it. And then when you do pass away, then you know, cross over to the other side where there is peace and happiness and whatnot. And that was an interesting take. I'd never heard it put like that before. So, I mean, for those of you who believe in heaven and hell and whatnot, mm-hmm. but that was an interesting spin on it.
So if that's the case and there is no hell, like we're actually living in it, what does that mean for all of the souls that are stuck or that choose to not continue?
That they're stuck here and they haven't crossed to the other side yet.
But if it's so great on the other side, why wouldn't they just go? Or if there isn't something else, something more hellish than what we're supposed to be living in, then where is the punishment? Like, where is the... Do you know what I mean?
Well, maybe that is their punishment. They're stuck here. Who knows? I don't know.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Maybe that is their hell, that they're stuck here and they can't cross over to the other side for whatever reason.
But then they're still the ones that choose to just stay there. We've talked about that before mm-hmm. with our teacher, that there are the ones that just are like, nope, I'm content right here. I don't know.
Yeah, they're happy.
Yeah, being unhappy. I don't know.
You know, there are people like that. Yeah. I know some people who they can't say a positive thing without saying two negative things.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that can be positive you know, they can turn winning the lottery into something bad.
Yeah. You're like, you're a joy to be around.
Right. And I remember I actually called somebody on that one day. It was one of my coworkers, and just negative, negative, negative comment. And finally I just turned around and looked at him. I'm like, well, aren't you just a ray of sunshine? And he was shocked. He told me, what did you just say? I said, well, aren't you just Mr. Sunshine? Can't you just say something good? Well, he came to me about a month later and said, I took what you said to heart. He goes, I didn't realize that was me. He goes, I'm not that person. I'm a happy person.
Like, well, I freaking couldn't tell.
I didn't know. And you know what he did? He quit his job. He quit and moved to another state, and he's doing work that he loves. He didn't know he was unhappy.
Wow.
He had no idea.
Mm-mm-mm. Crazy.
So anyway.
Let's talk about the cycle of reincarnation. Like, what is theorized to happen? And do you have anything on that?
Well, I've been told, and this is just, you know, grandmother passed down to mother, passed down to me, that you've got to build up your karmic bank, so to speak. You know, you do all these good deeds and build up that good karma so that in the next life, you will come back with a higher status. Because if you're basically a bad person, you're going to come back as a snake or a bug or something mm-hmm. else. So was that your question?
Somewhat. Yeah.
I mean, that's just, like I said, my mom is Buddhist, and her mother spent a lot of time with the Buddhist nuns, and that's just how they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
You do good things, you live a good life, and you build up that good karma, and you'll be rewarded for it in your next life.
So here's one theory on the cycle of reincarnation. And it basically is that it varies according to each individual soul. And it's said to be on average once every 300 to 400 years. So that's 300 to 400 years. Souls of a high spiritual grade are reincarnated in longer cycles, but the cycle of reincarnation is short for souls of a low spiritual grade because those souls have strong attachments to this world. So it explains a little bit kind of what we were talking about, you know, the, not quite, but you know what I mean? When I was saying, well, if this is hell and, you know, why are they in the in-between? And so a little bit, because they're a lower spiritual grade, according to this theory.
I never thought about spirits being in different grades.
Well, if you're going off of, you know, what's been passed down in your in your family, good karma, bad karma, then you coming back.
Okay. No, I get it. I see what you're saying.
So maybe there's something to that.
Maybe. Yeah.
However, when a great soul is born onto earth, reincarnation is planned at a different pace from the usual cycle. Souls are only reincarnated from heaven, as they cannot be born from hell. This is because the earth would turn into hell if hell spirits were able to be born here. Hell spirits are only able to reincarnate after they have reflected on the errors of their own minds and have returned to heaven, which is part of the purpose of reincarnation, going back to reaching that enlightenment and going back to what would be the creator, so to speak, if that's God, if that's whatever you deem that to be. Thus, everyone who is born on earth has been reincarnated from heaven, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So the soul comes to dwell in the human body in the 9th week of pregnancy, which makes me wonder about if...
See, and I've read differently. I think nobody really knows.
No, nobody really
knows. I mean, I've read that, you know, the soul enters at birth, mm-hmm. you know, and you just said it enters in the second or third month of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's the truth is, who knows?
Right. And this raises an interesting question about abortion, because if a soul is meant to be here, like meant to incarnate, and someone else makes a choice for that soul, then what then happens to that soul? Does it immediately reincarnate? But at the same time, would that have been part of that soul's plan?
Right.
And again, we're going to ask a lot of questions because we don't know.
Yeah, we
don't know. I have no memory of reincarnating. I haven't done any kind of...
No, I have no memory mm-hmm. of any past lives.
Right. I could not say like, oh, I remember when my mother was so far along and I jumped in that body.
yeah. I mean, I've been told of some of my past lives. Mm-hmm. I did have some, one of, you know, a past life shown to me in a meditation, but I didn't mm-hmm. know it at the time. I just had these images and I journaled them and kind of forgot about it. And then it came up again later, like a year later, in another meditation, and I asked, you know, what were those images about? And they said a past life. I'm like, but I've had these images before, and I actually had to dig back into my journal. And luckily, I was very detailed. And sure enough, it was about a year prior. I had very, very vivid images. And I didn't know what it was about. So I, you know, very detailed wrote it all out. It's like, that's what it was. And the thing is, you can, you know, everybody wants a past life that, oh, I was Marilyn Monroe, or I was, I was the queen of such and such, or I was a rock star.
Baloney. I was a cricket.
And my name is Jiminy.
Something like super royal and fabulous,
right?
Yeah.
You know, no, chances are you were, you know, a regular old schmuck, just like, you know, we are now. You know what I mean? It's gonna be rare that, oh yeah, my previous life I was Elvis or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
sir,
that's
sir
not
ma'am.
That's not happening. Mm-hmm.
So when and why does reincarnation occur? Well, every descent of the soul into this world has a specific divine purpose, and we've covered that. This is the case, whether it's the soul's first descent or a subsequent reincarnation, that is the purpose. There is a specific divine purpose. There are many aspects of reincarnation of the soul that are complex and intricate beyond the scope of, I mean, anything that we'll talk about. To understand the general purpose for reincarnation, there are some reasons that were outlined by a rabbi as provided by the Kabbalist in some of his work, and here they are. So the first of the reasons is there are some sins for which the cleansing in the spiritual realm, there are some sins for which the cleansing in the spiritual realm alone does not suffice. The souls who have sinned and have not properly repented whilst alive are sometimes forced to undergo a second round of life in this world as rehabilitation for sins previously committed. For the most part, rehabilitation occurs when the soul is faced with the same challenge to which it succumbed in its previous life and overcomes it. This is also the reason why one should endeavor to do repentance, even if he knows that he has not done anything overtly wicked. After all, he may still have leftovers from a previous lifetime that need fixing. In fact, many have said, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or vexed me in this incarnation or in another incarnation before their bedtime prayers every night. I've not ever said that. But maybe tonight, I don't know. Start a new trend. The second reason... Reincarnation provides an opportunity for souls to perform those commandments that they were unable to do in a previous incarnation. Rabbi Isaac Lurie, also known as Irizal, explains that the soul is comprised of 613 channels, which parallel the 245 limbs and 365 blood vessels of the human body. These 613 channels attain eternal elevation when the soul fulfills all 613 commandments during its earthly descent. Usually, a soul does not manage to fulfill all the commandments in one go and must repeatedly reincarnate until it has fulfilled them all. Because 613 seems like an awful lot. So I would imagine, unless it is do the dishes 613 times, it would be varying tasks, not 613 varying, but varying, you know.
I want to know how he came up with that number.
Well, that is the 613 channels of the soul.
Okay. So I wonder where that came from.
Obviously, he looked. He's like, one, two.
He just opened up the soul and started counting.
He's like, oh, channels. There are 613.
Huh.
Obviously.
Well, it was from the cabal, right?
Right. Okay. Yes, the cabalist.
Okay.
Reason number three. There are some souls who do not descend for their own growth or perfection. Rather, the only reason they return to this earth is to benefit others, which is very kind. I feel like my soul would not do that. I would not just come back and relive.
Just to help other people?
Just to help other people. I don't know. This can be to help out an individual or the entire generation, spiritually or materially. Now that we know why souls generally reincarnate, it should be noted that in theory, a soul can reincarnate as many times as needed until it fulfills its mission. This can only occur if it rectifies at least a minute portion of its past while incarnated. However, a soul that has reincarnated three times without having rectified anything at all is not reincarnated again. Which seems fair to me. If you're not getting the job done, like here in the physical world, often you are asked to leave your post. So maybe same kind of thing. Like if you're not getting it and you're just like, you know, D-ing around, not fulfilling your mission.
Right.
They'll be like, listen, sir, enough. We've paid for your ticket 7 times.
And again, this is coming from the cabal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's right. So, based on that theory, a soul that is reincarnated three times without rectifying its past has no other recourse for further rehabilitation and is forever doomed in the in-between, perhaps.
Well, now that would suck.
Right? But, like I was saying earlier, where does the punishment come in? Like, for bad karma, for, you know, like...
Well, the coming back is a...
But if in your free will, you choose not to move forward, backward, side to side, and you're just like, I'm going to stand right here and you're not going to tell me anything. You know what I mean?
I find it hard to believe that any living person could go their entire life and not build karmic debt, positive or negative. I mean, you would have to be
Ted Bundy.
Like in your room with no exposure to life and basically just be a vegetable. And life doesn't work that way. I mean, from the moment you're a child, you're put out in the world and you're either going to play nice or not play nice.
Right. But you know? By that thought pattern, if you have to build positive or negative, even some of the most horrendous people have built positive karma, but it's far outweighed by their
right.
bad karma.
Right. But the fact is they're living a life. They're learning lessons, whether they're good or bad. They're just not locked up in a room, not living life. So,
but the point of this theory is that if they haven't fulfilled their mission and all of the things that they were supposed to do,
right,
then eventually they reach the point where they would be doomed. So that's what I mean. Like if they choose to say like, yeah, I'm done with this, and you know, it's time for them to cross over, and they're like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to stay right here because I don't want to be like, I'm very attached to this world and I don't want to be that far away from it. And I just want to keep doing the stuff that I like to do. Like we've learned that where there are spirits that just want to have the human experience again or continue having that human experience. And
they can't move on for whatever reason.
Right. They can't, just, don't want to, like whatever it is. So that those are the ones I'm talking about where I wonder if this semi explains that, where they're just like, And what happens when you're doomed? Are you just like a little soul floating out there?
Yeah, you're just stuck here. I feel like that's what maybe being doomed is. You are stuck here. And you,
like
and
in the in-between?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't see any good in being stuck in the in-between. I just can't see it.
But some souls choose that.
And I don't. I know, and I think I they're choosing doom.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way I see it.
Agreed.
They're choosing doom. They're not in life. But if they don't cross over to the other side where they can find peace and happiness in their loved ones, I think they have chosen their own hell, basically, in my mind.
But I've also heard about some spirits choosing to stay in that in-between place because they are afraid of going to hell. Like if there is such a great place when we leave here and that's where we go in between incarnations,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we go when we're completely done, then I think there would also be an equivalent on the dark side where it's not furry and pretty and rainbowy and colors that are, you know, indescribable that you've never seen with your physical eyes. Don't you think? Like, that's the balance. Everything has a balance.
Right.
And I just can't even, I can kind of see where someone would say, or, you know, there's a population that believes that Earth or here in the physical plane, that would be the hell. But I feel like that can't be true because there is so much good that happens here. And that, by all accounts, is not what hell is. That's like a punishment for your, you know, that's the karmic price you pay.
Right.
For the bad outweighing the good. So I feel like there has to be a balance, like something to balance out that beautiful place where we would all eventually go for good. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Right.
Fingers crossed. I don't know. And we've said this before on other shows. We may never know because these are not necessarily things that we need to know when we cross over.
Well, yeah, we don't need to, you know, we don't need to know this in this physical lifetime. You know, I think that when we cross over, you know, we go back to our spiritual selves and we look down and go, oh gosh, I'm so stupid.
Right. Remember that phase I went through where I wore that fuchsia lipstick, guys?
Right.
And I overlined my lips. That was the one.
It's like, oh gosh, I can't believe I dated that guy.
Right? Look at you now, sucker, you're in hell.
So
I have my pretty gold angel wings.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, because we're not supposed to have all the answers when we're in this life. We're just not supposed to, because what fun would that be in living this life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. So how is your next incarnation determined? How is it? I think it's a lot of different things. So let's talk like the good and the bad karma. In Hindu belief, the purpose of reincarnation is the playing out of karma, like you said. Except you said your family's Buddhist, right?
Right.
So in the Hindu belief, in the Buddhist belief, I imagine, because I don't know very much about either, it is about karma, or the belief your choices and actions in this life will return to you in the next life in a manner that balances the energetic scales, which is kind of what I was trying to say with the, you know, whatever the quote unquote heaven is, there must be a quote unquote hell to balance it. Mm-hmm. For example, someone who's an abuser in one life may return as an abuse victim in another, which kind of goes in line with the theories that have been passed down to you,
right,
about the karma. Metaphysical and New Age belief systems view karma more as a cycle or balancing of energy that occurs over the course of all lifetimes of an individual soul. It's believed that over thousands of incarnations, every soul is everything and experiences everything along the spectrum of human experiences. Karma in this type of belief is nothing more than natural law. And since your soul will be, do, and experience everything, then this weighing of energetic scales happens to every soul over thousands of lifetimes. And when all of the karmic experiences have allowed the soul to experience itself fully as an incarnated human, then the cycle of life, death, and rebirth can end for that soul, which makes sense. So it kind of goes along the lines of the, I just lost my train of thought, but we were talking about fulfilling the purposes. And so it's all worded a little differently, but it's all kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, the same concept. Opinion.
Yeah, the same concept. There you go. And one is saying you fulfill your purposes. The other one is saying you achieve all these karmic experiences and you are everything and you do everything and then you're done. And then you get to go sit with your pretty gold wings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can be somebody else's spirit guide. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe you can be Marilyn Monroe. We don't know.
You never know.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy. Many people believe the soul undergoes a review process of its progression and growth when it's in between incarnations. For example, each soul decides on its next incarnation with the assistance of spiritual guides. The soul can be advised, but ultimately the choice is the soul's choice, which is free will. If the soul has evolved through numerous incarnations, it has earned the right to decide its next incarnation. However, if the soul has failed to learn the lessons for which it had last incarnated, that choice is forfeited and the decision is made for the soul. I've heard this theory as it relates to people that commit suicide. They do not complete their work in the current life or the current incarnation, which results in them having to come back to complete the task or tasks. Do you remember us having that conversation?
Yeah. So it's not like in Beetlejuice, you commit suicide and you have to work civil service for eternity.
It's not like that.
It's not like that.
Apparently not. Yeah, I remember us having that conversation, and I want to say it came about because, I mean, I don't remember the full context of our conversation, but I was doing a reading for someone, and someone from their past came through, and it was someone with questions surrounding their death. And some people, according to the police report, it was suicide. The cause of death was suicide. There was a lot of speculation that there was foul play. But when this soul came through, when this spirit came through, he said that he didn't mean it. And, you know, as if like I was trying to relieve something. And
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I thought I knew what I was doing, but I didn't. That kind of thing. But this person was free and was happy. And I mean, just really enjoying being on the other side. And I mean, just very at peace. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think that was one of the things that prompted my question. And we were talking to our teacher and I was just a little bit confused about that because, and I think it really comes from religious upbringing, and there's so much weight and guilt, I think, that's placed on suicide. And it's, you know, oh, you'll go to hell. You won't be able to go to heaven. You won't be able to come back. You won't, like, there's so much of that that's put on that. And I was a little bit confused when I saw this particular soul come through so peaceful and happy. And having that conversation with our teacher, she, you know, to the best of her ability, explained that if they haven't, you know, completed tasks, then they would likely have to come back at some point. When they cross over before completing all of those tasks, they still have to go through some education on the other side and get to a place where they are healthy, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right, where their spirit is healthy again.
Right. Because it was something about, and you might remember this, Marie, but it was something about when they cross over in that manner where they have taken their life for whatever reason and they haven't completed their work here in the physical world, it's like for a long period of time they are fragmented. Yes. And they have to put in the work to pull themselves back together.
Right. They're,
am I remembering that right?
Yeah, when they're here, I mean, their spirit is so broken.
Mm-hmm.
and they I mean, they, like you said, they commit suicide and they cross over, but by the time that happens, they are so broken spiritually, right, that they literally are in, like, for lack of a better word, a spiritual recovery room, and they have to heal, spend that time on the other side healing and getting their spirit together before they come back for a redo, right, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's another one of those things that, you know, I think we get a lot of our information from intuitives and, you know, the people that can connect with people that have crossed over, that can connect with spirits and angels and whatever the case. But I will say the caveat to that is that it's all interpretation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
And we've said before, and I'll say again, our information, the things that we've learned, that's our perspective. That's, you know, we're not end all be all. We don't have all the answers. Like, this is what we have translated out of our journey. And just like the information we get from our teacher or whomever else we're working with, it's the information that they have received, the way they've translated it, the way they view the picture. I mean, I think you brought up in another episode about us all experiencing, or maybe it wasn't, yeah, I don't know, but, you know, somebody made a really good point about, you know, you could have five people in a room and they all experience the same exact thing, except they don't. Everybody receives it differently. Everybody will retell it differently. Everybody.
Right. It's a different experience. Same thing, right, same event, right, but five different experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, you've got, you know, various religions out there who all believe different things, and then there's offshoots of those religions, mm-hmm, that, you know, have a slightly different spin,
right,
on heaven and hell and reincarnation.
Yeah, that's true.
So
what do you think the scientific take is on all of this, based on the things that we have talked about in the past, like near-death experiences, ghosts in general, you know, all of those things? To me, I would say I don't really know that there's a way scientifically to prove past lives. There have been attempts, I believe.
Well, there's been a ton of research.
Yeah, there's Dr. Ian Stevenson. There are a lot of doctors that have worked on this, but the scientific community as a whole doesn't buy into it.
They can't prove it.
Right.
They can't prove it. And the doctor that you just mentioned, Dr. Stevenson, I mean, he spent a lot of time researching it and trying to prove that reincarnation is real. I mean, it was his life's work.
Right. And he is a world-renowned reincarnation expert, so to speak.
Right.
Or researcher and, you know, slash expert.
So, I mean, so there's a lot of research done, but I think all they can do is just cite examples.
Right.
But I don't think they can explain the cycle, so to speak, not scientifically anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, how can you scientifically measure spiritual matters?
Mm-hmm.
That technology does not exist.
Right. No, it's true. It's like, you know, love can't be measured. They can't definitively say that near death is...
Oh, love can be measured.
Yes, or it's not.
Yeah. A lot of people believe love can be measured by flowers and jewelry.
Oh, whatever. I don't think... Overall, I don't think scientifically, like in the grand scientific community, that it can be proven. It definitely hasn't been proven so far. There has, however, been a lot of research done, like Marie said. And I mean, some of the stuff that they have found, or a lot of the stuff they found, is really incredible. So Dr. Stevenson, for example, has researched with many, many children, And his findings showed that past life recalls are very common for kids between the ages of 2 and 5. He has traveled everywhere throughout Asia, Europe, and North America, interviewing and documenting so many cases. And he has a book called 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation, and where he investigated 20 children with stories of previous lives that are incredibly fascinating. He has 3,000 cases of evidence of reincarnation, and I'm sure more by this point, because the articles and the information that I was finding wasn't dated.
Yeah, well, he had like maybe 3,000 cases.
Mm-hmm. It's like 50 years of research.
Right, and then he retired, and then Dr. Jim Tucker took over his research, because this is actually at the University of Virginia at the Division of Perceptual Studies.
Mm-hmm. Which he founded, right? Dr. Stevenson.
Yeah, he founded it. And I think he retired about 20 years ago. And then Dr. Tucker took over that division and took over that research. So it's still ongoing. Mm-hmm.
It is. And per his findings, he concluded that by the age of 7, most kids no longer recall past lives. It's really between that, 2 and 5, 3 and 5 age range. And for adults, it's almost non-existent. Not completely, but almost. There are some adults that have memories of past lives.
Or something triggers it.
Right. But it's usually the kids, because they are so much more open. They don't have life in general just bogging down their little brains.
Right.
Like we do. So let's talk past life regression. What is it? How do you do it? One of the most famous regressionists, I don't know if that's a word.
Well, we just made it a word.
We just made it a word, is Edgar Cayce. And I have heard about Edgar Cayce in the past. I've read about him in the past. I would love to read more. Edgar Cayce was a very famous clairvoyant. He is either reincarnated now or living with gold wings. I don't know. But he did use a form of self-hypnosis or meditation and performed readings for other people. And his readings gave volumes of information about his past lives and those of people who contacted him for readings. And he often discussed the veil of forgetfulness that he explained protects individuals from recalling their past lives. And without this protective veil, the average person wouldn't be able to cope, because it's so much information and so many emotions coming at you from those experiences, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I mean, I don't really want to know about my past lives. The past is the past. So, I mean, unless there's a tidbit of information that's going to help me grow in this life
and accomplish some stuff,
you know, then I don't know what the worth of that information is.
Right. Just for the sake of knowing, like it isn't always a helpful thing.
Right. I have no desire.
Right.
To know.
I don't either.
I have no desire.
Right.
I'm comfortable where I'm at. Yeah. I'm okay.
Unless like I could see like a future life where I, you know, am like a billionaire and I get the recipe for becoming that billionaire and I just do it sooner. That's it. That's it. That's all I need to know. But do you think, so the terminology is always past lives, past lives, past lives.
Okay.
What do you think about future lives? Here's why I ask this. In our plane, our dimension, I don't know exactly how to word that, we are slaves to time. We have a timeline where it runs, quote unquote, chronologically.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case in other planes. Time is not a thing. So, going by that, once we are not in this physical body anymore and we're back in spirit form, just our soul, you know, bouncing around until it goes into another body, do you believe that we could incarnate into a future body? Like, not like that. Do you believe we can incarnate into a future time? If time is not a thing in another plane, in that plane, well, then couldn't we?
Well, I think once our life is over, this physical life is over and you do cross over, and you're ready to start your next life, I think you start mapping it out at that point. I don't think that you can see a future life, and I mean, unless you've already mapped that out, because it's a big unknown. I mean, from the way I understand it, you cross over, and if you want to do another life, you work with your guide and you map out your upcoming life.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you take a peek into a future life when you haven't even planned it out yet?
No, not take a peek, but actually just jump the physical plane's timeline and go far into the future. Because technically,
well, I think you could do that because I think when you are on the other side and you're planning out your next life,
mm-hmm.
I didn't say you're planning your next life here on Earth.
But assuming that you're coming back to this plane.
Yeah, you're mapping out your life wherever that plane of existence is.
Right.
It doesn't have to be here.
But if it is.
You know, it could be... You know, on planet Timbuktu that, you know, has life on it. And, you know, who knows? But you're mapping out your next life. But like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be on Earth.
But if it is here in the same plane, you're coming back to this plane, don't you think that you could time jump? Like, you can jump around.
When you plan out your next life, you can be wherever the hell you want to be.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be... I passed away in 1987 and I came back in 1989.
No, I don't think it works that way at all.
Yeah.
I think it's like, okay, I do have some more lessons to learn, but that Earth on that level existence is not where I need to be. I need to go over here, and maybe that plane is either more gentle or more harsh. Who knows? But I'm going to go over there and try to learn something.
Right. And do you think... So I did not see any information on this. I didn't find any information on this, but I was looking for future lives because I would like to know if there is someone out there or many someone's out there that have an experience where they had a life far in the future. And for the sake of this little theory, mm-hmm. there were flying cars and there were, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have asphalt roadways anymore. You know, like, I'm just going to throw some Back to the Future stuff in there. So they had flying cars and the hoverboards mm-hmm. and the whatever.
Right.
And then they passed, you know, they lived that life, passed, and their next incarnation was back in time. And they had a memory of a future time. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. But I think, like you said, those veils that prevent us from seeing past lives.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that veil is there and we're not going to know about it because we're not supposed to.
Yeah, but what about all the people that have the memory? That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't find anything on anyone that has a memory of a future life. And I wonder if there is anybody out there that has a memory of a future life where they have lived in another time in the future and have incarnated back in time and have that memory of the future life.
Well, how would they know? All they know, it's a past life. That's all they know. How the future, whether it's future or past, how do they know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. For the sake of this little theory
mm-hmm.
or this concept or whatever, it would have to be something where they would say, yeah, it was stuff that I haven't seen in this time before, like a flying car, or do you know what I'm saying? Like, it'd have to be something futuristic that we don't see in our everyday. It's not even
okay,
a concept.
So all right, so let's go there. So remember I told you the meditation I had about a past life?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like that. The meditation I had was very futuristic. And it was, I remember I was like in a vehicle, like a train, and it was like on water. And I'm looking out and I could see the city and I could see other things on the water, like buildings or whatever. And I could see, and it was very futuristic. I mean, it definitely, it was not, you know, the Wild Wild West or, you know, the right. past.
So you knew you were stagecoaches.
Right. It was very, very futuristic.
Right.
But
you knew definitively this was a past life memory?
At the time, I didn't. But like I said, like a year later, the same images came back and I asked about it and was told, okay, this is a past life memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And that's when I went digging into my journal, found the meditation I was looking for. And like I said, it was very detailed. It was on the water. But I chalked it up to like an Atlantis type
mm-hmm.
environment.
Oh, I vaguely remember you talking about
that. It was
that.
Like an Atlantis thing. So it was very futuristic. There weren't cars. There weren't. But it was a such an advanced technology that I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
So is it something like that that you're talking about?
Yeah, where it's not stuff we have. It's not futuristic in terms of a Tesla, like an electric car.
No,
it's futuristic
no.
like that. No, no, you're right on the, you're exactly where I'm going. That's exactly what I'm talking yeah. about is, you can identify it as a future timeline because there are things that you identified that you have not been exposed to before.
Right.
Like it was not a horse and buggy, like you said. It wasn't.
Right. I wasn't living in a teepee.
Right. You weren't in a flapper dress. You weren't.
Right. No, it was very, yeah. it was very futuristic.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. So maybe you have.
And I wasn't the governor or somebody rich. I was a friggin' recorder.
Right.
You know, just, you know, average everyday Joe.
Right. So maybe you do have an experience of a future life.
It's possible.
Which technically is still called a past life because it is in your past.
Right.
But it could technically be in the future timeline.
Possibly.
That's what I meant. Yeah. So you went exactly where I was trying to go.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and it's just yeah. so interesting because I haven't seen anything about that. And I did look when I was doing my research and I was like, nobody
it's
has
because
a...
she's sitting right in front of you, my dear.
Why did I doubt? I was like, ask Marie Rose. She'll make it up if she has to.
That's it. I just pull all of this right out of
No, I do remember you talking about that and us talking about Atlantis and how there are so many civilizations
mm-hmm.
that even though they were far in the past, they were so far in the future.
Right.
Which is, I mean, we'll have to talk about that one day because I think that'd be so amazing to talk about the Atlantis and the all that stuff.
Yeah.
So getting back on track because I pulled us way off.
Well, no, we're talking past lives.
So regression through hypnosis. There are a lot of researchers who practice hypnosis as a method of getting that past life to come forward, getting those memories to come up for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these cases have been documented. And while it's, you know, a legitimate form, so to speak, of research, other scientists don't use it because, you know, the human mind cannot be measured through scientific means when it comes to things like that. And near-death experiences. So a lot of researchers do opt not to use hypnosis regression in their research. Doesn't mean that they won't use it. Doesn't mean that it's invalid. But I think it's almost one of those things like you have to figure out what resonates with you.
Yeah. And in science, it has to be repeatable.
Right.
And it's got to be something that another scientist can duplicate
mm-hmm.
and come up with the exact same results.
Right.
I mean, that's science.
Right.
And with this type of work, like I said, the technology doesn't exist to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. It's very true. I think, you know, Edgar Cayce did some hypnosis. He did readings. He did, I mean, there are a lot of methods out there. It could be meditation as well. It could be all kinds of things. And I think you find what resonates with you, what feels right to you. But I don't think there's a right or wrong. I really don't. It's like, you know, it's like meditating. Do you do it guided? Do you do it with music? Do you do it silently? Do you do it by the ocean? It's, you know what, you're doing it. That's what matters, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's what matters. I would just say, as always, be very safe and know who you're working with. Don't just jump into it because you want to find out if you have a past life, because you may find out a whole lot more than you bargained for.
True, true. Like I said, I've got no curiosity whatsoever.
I mean, I'm a little bit curious, but I'm not curious enough to do it. Like, I don't feel like it would benefit me in any way. So,
right.
So, evidence of past life being a thing. I found some information on birthmarks. Did you read anything about that?
Yes. And it was actually one of Dr. Stevenson's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so cool. So to tell you guys about it, it is. So kids, you know, like Dr. Stevenson has concluded, kids are the most open to it and have the most to tell about past lives. They remember it the most. And they have been able to give specific details, names, towns, and other information. And a lot of these kids are born with either a birth defect, a birthmark, or other wound type scar that correlates with the past life that they recall. And it could be something like a birthmark in a spot where their previous self was shot or stabbed. Or what else did you find, Marie? It was
what I found was the same story, but it was told one version. It was a boy from Thailand, and then another version, it was a boy from India.
Mm-hmm.
I like the version of the story that I found from Thailand a little better, just because there were more details in it.
But the theory behind it being that that mark will be in the same exact spot where that person was wounded before, or, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a gunshot in the right shoulder,
mm-hmm.
that child will be born with a birthmark right in that same exact spot. And if they can find the information on that person in history and mm-hmm. find how they died and what they died, you know, all that stuff, they right. will likely find that it was, that wound was in the same spot, which was so crazy.
Right.
I was like, good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never heard of the birthmark theory until researching.
Yeah. Past me too. Lives.
So yeah, it's interesting.
I thought it was really cool. What was the story that you had?
And I'll go with the Thailand version of the story, that, Chennai Chumlawan, was 3 years old when he remembered being a teacher named Bukai. He remembered that he had been shot and killed as he rode his bike to school. He begged to be taken to his parents, and he means Bukai's parents, the parents from his previous life. And he even knew the name of the village. So his grandmother took him to the village, and he found the address and appeared to recognize the people living there as his previous parents.
Wow.
So Dr. Stevenson investigated this and found out from the teacher's widow that her husband had been shot from the back, and there, you know, the back of his head was consistent with an entry wound, whereas the larger wound was on his forehead. So Chennai was actually had the two birthmarks, a small round birthmark on the back of his head and then a larger, more irregular shaped birthmark on the front of his head. So the enter and exit wound of being shot, and the fact that he remembered his parents, and the fact that he went to the village, found his house, and found his parents, every everything lined up in this story.
That is remarkable.
It is. It is quite remarkable.
There are a lot of stories out there like that. There's another theory that another theory that they say is, well, let me just tell you guys. So there's something called cellular memory, and the theory of cellular memory hypothesizes that the subject's cells, the person's cells, hold the memories of past lives, and those memories are activated by electrical impulses. And while this kind of cellular memory is used to explain past life recall, there is no evidence of it being conclusive, much less the only explanation. But that's true for all of these. They're just theories. But that is one of the, I thought that was also cool, like muscle memory.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, come on, muscles, remember what I did last week. So I thought that was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are so many theories out there. There are a lot of studies that have been done, continue that are ongoing right now. We could go on and on. I mean, we're definitely not going to answer all these questions and solve this, figure it all out. Yeah,
I don't think any of this will be answered in our lifetime.
Yeah, not by a long shot.
Or even in our children's lifetime.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I agree. I totally agree. It's such an interesting subject. Like, it is, I mean, researching this I thought was really cool. I learned things that I just didn't know before, such as the birthmark being one of the bodies of evidence, if you will, the cellular memory, reading about, you know, a little bit about Edgar Cayce and Dr. Stevenson and all the other doctors, and how religion plays a role, because this goes back even before Buddhism and Hinduism, and I mean, this goes way, way, way back.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, all the religions touch on it.
Yeah, and in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Asian or Celtic or Druid or mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah, they all touch on it.
They all touch on it. Yeah. So there's got to be something to it.
Yeah,
I agree. Something.
I definitely agree. Well, if you guys have any questions about reincarnation, make sure you let us know at themediummatters@gmail.com or find us on one of the social media pages. Or if you have an experience, we would love, love, love to hear about it.
Yeah, because if I just shared my whole past life,
Atlantis. Past future life.
Yeah, past future. Then you can share yours. Marie
the recorder at Atlantis.
because I don't, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And, yeah, and a lot of you crazy. Are probably going to think I'm nuts now.
I don't think you're nuts.
But you think I'm nuts in a good way.
That's true.
So if I can share a story mm-hmm. that's as crazy as that, you can definitely share yours. Matter of fact, I challenge you to top that one. Send it in.
Yeah, don't make it up though.
No, it's got to be legit.
True story. Friends, that is our episode on reincarnation. We hope you enjoyed this complex content as much as we did. And I really, really enjoyed this one. I wish we could talk about this 4 hours because there's so much material to cover. If you guys want to hear more on this, make sure you let us know. We would be happy to cover it. And remember, send in your questions or your own experiences with past life regression, past life memories, meditation, whatever the case. We really appreciate you guys joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I will show you even more love. If you're feeling spooky, make sure you send in your real life ghost stories to themediummatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. And remember, your voicemail will be played on the air, so make sure you tell me if you'd prefer to keep it private. If you want to be one of the VIP, make sure that you join our kick-ass Patreon family for as little as $1 per month, and you will get immediate access to all of the goods. Check us out at patreon.com/themediummatters and join today. And if you're liking the show, make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts that you're loving so that all of your faves get seen. With that, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Medium Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.
Good night.